Good morning, everybody. Y'all come on in. So I am, if you notice, I am not in my usual studio. We have our so our studio got built out and we started filming in it and doing all Zoom calls in it. It was a few months ago. And then we had to, it was like stage one, and now the completion stage is getting done. So Chris has been I've been singing Bob the Builder. He's been down there building a ceiling grid for the lights and stuff. So for this week and possibly next, I will be up here doing my calls. So I'm going to look different. If anything, this is what I would love for y'all to appreciate. This is why lighting is so important because I look like a Oompa Loompa. I'm just like, wow, I didn't realize how great the lights were. So, all right, we are going to coach today, and we have some people pre-selected because I want to make sure that we are coaching on some of the topics that we're studying this month in the emotional eating because we are going to be including them in the course going forward. So, we are going to start with, let's see, I am looking for Melissa Henry. Hang on, I gotta move my camera. Diana Prince and Lisa Hollingsworth. There we go. They're all got their hands raised. Let's start with I deserve it eating. So Diana, you're going first. And that's going to be the first thing we're going to coach on today is I deserve it eating and all of the things that come along for the ride with that. So let me pull up. All right. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. I've had a house full of people for 3 days. My best friend this year, she's turning 50, and her big request was to have me and a few of our friends who are also life coaches get together because she turns 50 this year, and we just celebrated 10 years of becoming a life coach. So it was our big party. And all we did was coach for two, like coaches do. We sat in my living room and literally coached for 2 days.
How exhausting, but
Yeah, no, it was good actually. We worked on our businesses some, but we did a lot of like interpersonal coaching and stuff. So it was fun. So, all right, let's talk about you.
okay.
Tell me about I deserve it eating. What's going on for you?
So I'm an old hat in here. I've been here since 2019,
All right.
and I've had an issue with a regain, and so I'm trying to tease that all out. What's going on, right? So I realize what's going on at night is it's the end of the day. I've had a hard day at work. And I'm like, I want a glass of wine. Or sometimes it's part of the, I think it's part of transitional eating. So it's like the end of the day, I've finished dinner, I sit down, and then it's time to go get chocolate out of the cabinet or something. And sometimes I plan for the chocolate, you know, it's like it's on my plan, but it's like I don't really need it. And it's just, this is how I wind down. So I've
So
gotten
you do need it if it's the only way you wind down. Let's just be real clear.
that. I guess I hadn't thought about that.
I know we always like to say, I didn't need it. And I'm like, emotionally, something in there is saying,
Right.
girl, it's a great idea. I know you're not
Yeah.
hungry. I mean, we don't physically need it, but this
Yeah.
is what I want all of you to hear. When it comes to emotional eating, there's a lot of different layers to eating. There is the physical, but we have emotional needs too. So sometimes we want to be emotionally eating because we want joy, we want pleasure and stuff. But when it's at the expense of your goals, because you don't or you're not getting relaxation, winding down, feeling deserving, if you're not getting those things from you, then food has to become the vehicle now. Food is like, well, let me be there for you because you really do deserve to feel good. Like, I want you to feel good. And if you won't do it for you, out like wine and chocolate is the way to do it for sure.
When I had tried to crowdsource some suggestions for alternates to having the glass of wine or eating
I
the thing.
know, but do you know that that is the worst idea ever?
The alternates?
Yes. So
Why?
listen, let me phrase it this because this is gonna be such an aha for you. It's like, you know, the reason why I'm having it at night is because I've had a hard day and I don't feel like I'm really deserving and I don't really know how to relax. I know, rather than fixing that part of my life so I can feel amazing on the inside, I should look for alternates to chocolate. So I
Right.
can continue to feel undeserving. And I can continue to feel like at the end of the day, like, poor pitiful me. I had a hard day. Like I deserve to feel really bad. And somebody give me a suggestion so I can keep that.
Well, this is self-flagellation, right? This is what we do as human beings, right? So, I mean, it's sort of like and maybe it's part of that, like, you know, when you plan what you should eat versus what you will eat, I'm still in
No,
sort of diet
you are
mentality.
really trying. Like, let's break this down. I'll ask you some questions. Okay, so this
Okay.
is what I would love for you to do.
Okay.
Don't try to figure out what's happening to you. Tell me what's actually happening to you.
Okay.
Because this is what I watch a lot of you do. You listen to a lot of the content, and there are just some areas where you need to ask coaches and you need to get coached because, like, you're so desperate for the explanation that you miss the obvious problem. Okay. Just like when you're saying this is self-flagellation, like, no, again. Whatever's happening during the day, when you come home, and if the only way that you can feel good is to drink a glass of wine or eat chocolate, the problem is what's going on during your day to where you don't come home at night tired physically, but emotionally there for yourself.
I'm trying to figure that out because I feel like if I figured that out,
Yeah.
then the eating and drinking problem goes away, right? But it's like, what do
Well,
we do in
it
the
will
meantime?
stay. It'll just be a habit and it'll be easier. A habit is easy to break. When you have an emotional need, you can't break the habit. It's not a habit anymore.
But doesn't it make sense though to find out a way to feed the emotional need without food, so to speak, and drink? I mean, doesn't it make sense
Yes, but that doesn't mean
alternate
that,
thing?
like, we're going to fill the need during the day and your brain's going to quit asking for food. It's just when it asks for food, you will now have the emotional capacity to break the habit. You will have, like, your brain will still have noise. It will still want you to eat. It will still ask for all those things because that is just what it's used to. Even if you feel the need, it's not like your brain is like, problem solved. I never have to think about this again. It's just like, let me ask you this. If you spent your entire life brushing your teeth and we took them out, all your teeth, you had to lose them for some weird reason. You think you would just wake up the first day and be like, my brain didn't even ask me to brush my teeth? That's amazing. Or
No.
would most days you would forget and think you got to brush your teeth and you'd be like, oh shit, I forgot. I don't have teeth anymore.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just having this image in my head of like no teeth.
I mean, think about it. It's like we think if we feel that need, that all of that chatter goes away. It's
Right.
like we feel the need, the chatter stays, but right now you have chatter while you have a gaping wound. Now we're going to have chatter, but you have no wound. Like you have energy, you haven't bled out all day. So you
Yeah.
have like the energy to deal with it now. You have,
Yeah.
you, like your logical brain can stay online. Like you have
Yeah.
so much more capacity for it. So let's figure out. You said, all right, I'm going to lose a boob. Hang on. This is so crazy. I'm gonna push them back in. Kim Kardashian, you have failed me with your Skims dress. I just had one that was just like escaping out the corner. All right. So your daytime. You said I come home and let's just think about the I deserve it. Because I don't think, like, usually I don't identify transition eating as going. Usually, transition eating is more of I come home and I'm eating because I've got to start doing again. Like, I don't know how to navigate a gap in time. Or I don't know, like, and it's combined with second wind eating. And second wind eating is where I'm, coming home, or I'm finishing up with dinner, and I know I got to still do X, Y, and Z. So I'm going to eat more to gear up for that.
Right.
Okay. My problem is second wind eating. Like these days, when I kind of look at all the ones, I'm like, the one that I probably have to work on the most, have to watch for, is I want to like add snacks in when I'm not hungry because I'm just tired and I still got stuff to do. And so I want to eat as a way of like kind of taking a break. And then, because it always happens if I eat, then my brain, now it's like decided you have the permission and now you have the energy to keep going. And so I've been really watching it. And because I don't snack much anytime, like if I'm snacking, it's like a red flag to me. Like, is this emotional or are you actually hungry? Like, it's like so clear to me to ask the question now. And so what I do is I remind myself, like, okay, you still have X, Y, and Z to do. Does it have to be done? Is always my first line of questioning. Sometimes we just put false shit on us. My second line of questioning is if it does have to be done, it's like, okay, well, if you were going to take the time to go eat, do you have space right now to actually get your second wind in a much more healthier, long-term way? Like, I just reason through it, but that only the reasoning only happened because I really identified what was going on and I talked to myself about how that habit isn't helping me. Like long term, it's only helping me momentarily. But it's also screaming at me, you have an unmet need. Let's work on what's going on there. Let's get good at understanding that so that when it's time, now you don't have resistance to it. So for you, during the day, when you say I've had a hard day, what does that mean to you?
It usually means that it was super busy, or a client was yelling at me, or a judge was yelling at me, or opposing counsel was yelling at me.
Okay. So usually somebody was yelling at me. I've been busy and I'm feeling what? Like attacked or yelled at or what's
Usually
going on there?
overwhelmed. That I know for sure. It's overwhelm.
Well, is that when people yell at you feel overwhelmed or when they yell at you feel something different? It feels like the overwhelm would come from the busyness.
Well, it's a combination of a few things. I just have too much on my plate right now and I can't keep up. So when it's like a judge is like, why didn't you get this done? It's like, well, because I have 106 cases and I can't keep up. It's that kind
Then,
of thing.
okay, and then what does the judge say after you explain it?
I mean, it's like counsel, you have due diligence. You have to do due diligence, you have to do this, you have to do that, and it's the slap on the wrist. Usually it hasn't caught up with me yet, but I don't like to be behind.
Okay, but let me ask you, I get that. And this is, I don't think anybody likes being behind, which is fine if if you tell yourself at the end of the day, you had a rough day and you don't like being behind, but you also got a lot done today. This is like, what do you make it mean that you're behind? Let's look into that. Like, what is going on underneath all? Because I think it's fine to not, I don't like being behind either. When I'm behind, I'm frustrated and stuff, but what are you making it mean? Because
It
you
means
said
I'm not
like
doing a good job. That's what
okay,
it means.
let's dig into that. That's why I asked you about like when they are yelling at you, right? And I don't know, you're saying like everybody's yelling at me. Is that true? Are they actually raising voices and stuff?
Oh no. It's like what's going it's that's drama, right? Like it I mean it's like what's happening? Why isn't this done? I haven't
Okay.
heard from you in 3 months,
So
kind
I go through my day. I have more on my plate right now. Like, you legit know 100% this is a case of too many cases, one
of.
of me kind of thing. That we have as a fact. The other fact we have is that is causing other people to give me feedback. Not, well, they're all yelling at me. Okay. This is really important. This is why we have to ask these questions because if we're not gonna, drown ourselves in chocolate and wine at night, if you're coming home with the story, I'm so behind, they're all yelling at me. And what did you say you make it mean when you're behind? That I'm not doing a good job?
Not doing a good job.
Okay. Is that really true?
I feel like it is. I don't know that no one's telling me I'm doing a poor job.
Okay, so Only you think you're doing a bad job.
Well, yeah, because I'm a perfectionist. I'm not supposed to be
No,
different.
stop. I want you to live with this. I am the only person telling me that I'm doing a bad job. Everyone else is reminding me of like it's due diligence time. Like everybody is pretty much doing their job. You're doing your job. You just have more on your plate than what can reasonably get done. They are at the effect of it. And so they're saying, like, they probably should, just in case you're an asshat. I mean, would the judge get in trouble if he never reminded anybody if they were ever behind? Like, he probably has somebody asking him, what's going on? He's like, well, I'm telling them. And if he said, I don't really know, I try to ignore it because they get their feelings hurt. I mean, I would hate to hurt her feel. I mean, I think she drinks wine and chocolate at night, so I really have laid off on her.
We all do, in some respect, drink wine and chocolate at night.
Well,
We
no, but I just want you to imagine. Like the judge is like, when he's giving you feedback and letting you know that you're behind,
all do. Yeah.
he's doing his job.
Right.
He's
Oh,
not yet,
I know.
but you're not thinking that. You're thinking he's yelling at me because I'm doing a bad job.
Because I'm not supposed to do a bad job. I'm supposed to be better than everybody else. That's what's happening in here. You know, it's like
Right, but now tell me, like, here's the good news. You recognize it's twisted. So why aren't you doing something about it?
I don't know how to untwist it.
Take a wild guess. Like in your wildest imagination of all that you've been here since 2019.
Yeah.
What's supposed to happen when you recognize an old shitty?
I mean, I don't know. What's supposed to happen? I'm supposed to come up with a new thought.
Well, there's one thing we could be doing, which we're not doing right now.
Yeah.
How are
Well,
you ever
shit.
going to go ahead?
I said, well, shit. I mean, what's the new thought? You know, like that's the thing. That's where
I just gave you 10.
I'm.
This is how why you're so ready to tell me what a perfectionist you are and like, no, you don't understand, Corinne. This is what I'm thinking. And I'm like, no, I really understand, and so do you.
Yeah.
And then when I gave you like alternate perspectives, it's like all of a sudden you're just like, my brain's offline. Like I could never have a new thought. I mean, one thought could simply be when you are thinking, I'm like, oh my God. Like, here's one thing we know. You are for sure gonna have a judge and other people if your work is behind. Because
Yeah.
write this down. I actually want you to write it down. My work is behind because my caseload is heavy. Your story is my work is behind and I'm doing a bad job. This shouldn't be happening. Perfection, for some reason, perfectionists would never allow this. No, really, if you're, I don't care if you're a perfectionist, I don't care if you're a fucking dildo. If you have more work than you can physically do, there's not one person in this world who breathes air who could accomplish it. That's like me saying, if I give you a puzzle, and I'm going to give you $10,000 if you can put together a 10-piece puzzle. Could you do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give you 8 of the 10 pieces, and I'm going to give you a week to finish it. I'll even give you support, people who love you. I'll give you snacks. I'll give you rest. I'll give you anything you want, but I'm not giving you those 2 pieces that are missing. Could you do it?
Do I have access to these two pieces? Then
No, you don't.
I
Not at
can't do
all.
it. Oh, then I can't, right?
Exactly. That is what your caseload is like now.
Yeah.
But you've painted it in your picture that the problem is you, not the caseload.
Yes.
So I'll ask you again. When your brain, like we're going to use the judge and his feedback, whenever anybody is ever, basically telling you and reminding you of, you know these things have to be done by this certain date, and these things have to get done. That is your trigger to be like, has nothing to do with me as a person, this is my caseload.
Yeah.
And it's really important. Otherwise, you're coming home feeling like if you did that all day, like every time you the overwhelm settled in and you're like, look, I do have a lot on my plate, but no one's telling me I'm doing a bad job. In fact, I want you to describe to me, and you're not allowed to tell me anything shitty. You have to, I don't care if you make it up and it doesn't even feel real, but I prefer for it to feel real to you. If you had to give a true, honest telling of the type of employee you are with your caseload, tell me that story.
You mean like when I have a caseload I can manage, or just generally?
No, like when it's in general, like we want to go to worst case scenario. You have a caseload you
Yeah.
cannot manage right now.
Right.
Now, let me just ask you a few questions, and this will fill in the story. When you have an unmanageable caseload, do you prioritize it all? Do you try to meet deadlines? Do you like sort things through? Like, what's most important? I probably ought to do this now.
Yes.
Okay. That's probably a good thing.
Yes.
You could just be like, oh no, too much work. I'm going to go to the vending machine and like somebody I hope comes and does it.
I mean, yes.
Where's my court fairies?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So you're really good at when you are overwhelmed with too much caseload, getting the things done that have to get done. Absolutely are like deadline oriented.
Oh yeah, I'm a great firefighter. I put out the fires all the time. Yeah.
Could you just imagine? All right, let's like breathe this in. You already have a thought. What if every time somebody gave you feedback like that and you're like, yeah, that's a heavy caseload, but I'm a damn good firefighter. I mean, everybody comes to me to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I understand, man. I absolutely know these things, but did you know that I prioritize those things? I don't miss deadlines. I just have a heavy caseload right now. I'm sorry that, things feel like they're behind.
Yeah. Well, what's the question here?
There is no more question. Like, I want you to imagine, what if your day was like that, where you were confident even when you had a heavy caseload? When you got overwhelmed, you
Yeah.
reminded yourself of what you truly believe about yourself, which is, I'm a great, you said it with conviction, I am a great firefighter.
And that's true. I agree with that. I mean, I think that about my I know that about myself. I know how to put the fires out. But prevention is the first step in firefighting.
Okay, then how can you prevent?
I mean, I handle my I prioritize the best I can.
Yeah.
And I think I'm not talking to myself about I'm doing the best I can. There's only one of me. And I've only got two hands, and I'm not the best I can thing is not really, I don't know. I guess maybe the best I can feels like it's not good enough, is really.
Right. That's why it's not useful. The whole way that you described it, for some people, this is how we know when we're like, you're telling the story, I'm doing the best I can, like a victim, instead of like a firefighter. Like a firefighter doesn't like hold a hose and be like, I'm doing the best I can. They're just in it. They're just like, we're going to put it out. Like it's going to get put out. And it's not easy to put out fires. That's why we call them. But we only call upon firefighters when it's really hard and it's dangerous and it's scary.
I don't know why I'm all of a sudden upset. You said victim, and it was like, oh, God damn it. I don't like being a victim. I don't want to be a victim.
Well, then don't victimize yourself.
Yeah.
Tell your story differently every day.
Yeah.
Like, look for when you're getting triggered to be a victim of your caseload, a victim of someone's feedback. Like, even the way you talked about the judge and stuff, like, you really described it as everyone is yelling at me.
Yeah.
And when I asked you, like, all right, let's just be clear, because I want to make like, if your judges are actually yelling at you, then we have to like do nervous system work, and because they're probably not going to quit yelling. That's the work environment you're in, then we would have to address it. But I'm not going to do all, like, why would we do all that if no one's actually yelling? But you're
Right.
internalizing it as, I am a victim. I am being yelled at because
Yeah.
I'm not doing a good enough job and blah, blah, blah. It's no fucking wonder when you come home at night, there's a part of you inside who is saying, Hannah, you're a firefighter. You're the one everybody calls. Like, there's this little person in there who is saying, like, you're so much better than you're giving yourself credit for. And you're like, fuck no, let's have chocolate wine. And everybody's yelling at us, and we're perfectionists. And like, you're just living in this fantasy world.
Yes.
And it's killing the one part of you that says, I believe in you. Why are
Yeah.
you not listening to me?
Yeah.
So, I want you to think about this. If you got really good at noticing when you are becoming a victim of your caseloads, and it's only going to happen probably when you have more work than you need to do, which is exactly when we want to do this work, because it's really easy to believe in ourselves when everything's going right. And most people, when everything's going right, don't even really believe in themselves. It's just easy to have those thoughts. When we really understand when somebody truly has their own back is when tough situations happen and you can dig in and tap on that belief you already have. So it's always good practice for all of us to not wish, you never want to wish that life would just get easier so you could feel better. I always like to tell myself,
Yeah.
life is going to have highs and lows. I am really good at the highs. I'm fixing to get better at my lows. And my lows are the training ground for me to believe in myself, to know how to calm my ass down. I want to become somebody who doesn't dramatize my stories. I want to be someone that when I catch myself worrying like an asshole, I get help. I journal. I ask questions. I do the things like, hard days are where we actually become the better version of us. Nobody becomes a better version of themselves when everything's easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can all agree if you kind of look around, and I'm not like bashing this generation since my son is one of them, but like my son and my niece, they have been raised very differently. We laugh all the time. Like when I was a kid, like, you want to eat, go make you something.
Yeah.
You want this? Go get you a job. All these things. Them, it's like my son is getting ready to move out. And yesterday I was just like, okay, now mommy's had friends, but tomorrow I'm gonna go to your room and we're gonna do all your stuff and I'm gonna pack things. He looked at me and he said, you know I can do this, right? I said, oh, I know you can do it. But like I'm just like over here and I thought, oh my God, when I was his age, I was on my third apartment, already divorced. And working two jobs.
Yeah.
So, reason why I say this is because I just want you to just see, like, you don't have to be a victim. I want you thinking about using your trials and your tribulations as your training ground to, like, figure out that the version of you that keeps eating for chocolate and wine is just saying, like, you do deserve something. You deserve to see yourself differently all day. That is what you deserve. And if you're not going to do it, then let me like at least make you feel good at night because you do deserve to feel good. I think that's what I Deserve It Eating is all about. So I
Yeah.
want you to imagine if you go through your day feeling more like the hero firefighter. And you don't think people are actually yelling at you. You're just like, no, I get it. Like, I get frustrated when I have too much work too. We're all just frustrated that I have too much work. Everybody hates that I have too much work.
Yeah.
Then when you come home, you're tired because you did have too much work, but you're not tired of your own shit.
What do you mean by that?
You're not tired because all day long you're telling yourself, perfectionists shouldn't be behind.
Oh,
I
yes.
should be doing better.
Yes.
They're yelling at me. It's all because I'm not doing a good job. You're living under that pressure all day. That's why emotionally you got to take the load off at night. I want you to take the emotional load off all day. So when you come home at night, you're just physically tired. And when we're just physically tired, we have some emotional bandwidth to, we go in already spending the day believing in ourselves, which means it's a lot easier for us to believe that we can say no to wine and say no to chocolate.
I agree with that. I think that's right. That makes sense.
So what are you going to do? How's Monday going to work for you?
Well, I mean, I think I need to do some journaling about what the hell is going on with me with work. I haven't really done that. You know, I sit there and I kind of touch on it, but I don't really dig into it. I think I need to do that for Monday. I mean, I'm on calendar at 8:30 in the morning. So I'm going to have to go through the day and get to the end of the day and see how I'm feeling and journal about what's going on there. I think figure out, you know, I mean, it sounds to me like I just have to have this script that I'm playing over in my head until I start to believe it. You know, like how we talk about talking to ourselves kindly and eventually our brain catches up with that. You know what I mean? Like,
You already believe it.
yeah, I mean, to
I
some.
didn't come up with that firefighter shit. You did. You said, I really believe this. The belief works over, Diana.
So it's putting it into practice so that I'm not stuffing my face or, you know, getting
Yeah.
shit faced
It's
on the couch.
literally like if I was going to journal, I would journal on. Here are the things that are likely to happen today, and my brain will want to make it a big deal. And my brain will want to go to these things. You need to be like, I want to see all of it. I want to hear every bit. Like, bring it, brain. I want to know exactly when you're being a duder. Because every single time I want to like breathe. Sometimes you don't have to, this is not like y'all have to take a dramatic pause and the whole world has to like freeze frame for this to happen. You just like, whenever you're getting triggered, this is the nice thing. If you're an overwhelmed person, if you're a perfectionist, if you're all those things, you know when it's happening. It is not like y'all are just like, oh my God, overwhelmed, jumped on my back and I've never felt it before. I don't know what this is. Like, y'all know when it's happening. You know. If so and so says these things, if I get feedback on this, if my caseload gets above this, if I notice I have too many files at the end of the day, like really go through and be like here's all the things that will trigger me to go to my old, outdated story. Don't even call it a belief. My story that this is too much, I'm not good enough. I am behind. You can just say, like, I'm behind because I have a caseload, not I'm behind. My caseload, even just saying my caseload is behind is better than I am.
Yeah, instead of making it about me, a
Yeah.
comment on me.
Just look for all the things and then you write about what are the things I believe, like, that are also true in these moments. You know, when my caseload is behind. It's also true that I always prioritize. When people are giving me feedback, it's also true that no one has ever said I'm doing a bad job. You notice how these aren't like magical unicorn thoughts, they're very grounded in reality. That's all you want. And you want to be doing that through the day. So you just want to like, I would just start a practice of every morning. You don't have to list every trigger, but most of us know our day well enough to know what's likely to get in the way. I write about it every single day. I always write like, what is most likely to get in my way today? And what can I tell myself and do if that happens? What am I going to remind myself?
This is planning for the old shitty.
Yeah, that's all we're doing. We know it's coming. It's not going to turn off for a while because it's literally there trying to protect you. He's coming in because he's like, you never tell me to think a different way, and you've got this little piece of you that believes in you. But I mean, she's over here whispering, and this is a, full-on Motley Crue concert, so I'm never going to hear her. And so we got to like just bring it up, let it happen, and you just remind yourself, like, this is just part of my job. I mean, a part of my job is sometimes caseloads are too heavy. It'd be like me coming on here and saying, like, God, Diana, you just don't know. I got like two whole calls today and I got to be on and I had to take a shower. I mean, I feel so behind and I got to write that course that's coming out in September. And
Yes.
I would never do that. I never describe it that way. I'm always just like, all right, today I have calls where I will write some scripts. I like right now I'm technically behind, but I'm also telling myself, like, you also have the entire week to look to see if there's any extra space. I also have told myself, like, sometimes you like to write scripts leisurely. This might not be the week for it. We may have to, like, not have the TV on. Like, a lot of times I like to work in the living room so my cat can sit next to me. I don't work as fast in there, although I do enjoy my cat. It's the only time she'll sit next to me. And I'm like, this is probably the week that I've got to like work in the office. So, anyway.
It's all about the choices, right? I mean, it really is. Okay.
I just don't whine about it so I can optimize. And then I also know that, okay, if I'm 2 days late, that doesn't mean something's wrong with Corinne. It just means it took two extra days. But I got the most, I don't miss important deadlines. That's one thing I truly believe. And I think that's one of the things that you truly believe. I don't miss the important deadlines. I may be missing things that make things inconvenient for people, but it's inconvenient for me to have a big caseload too. We're just living in it. All right.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you. I
You're
appreciate
welcome.
it.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, we have a minor issue. Here we go. I'm gonna have to use this mouse. Somebody was asking, why am I upstairs? I'll just remind y'all one more time. The studio is getting the final lighting package is getting installed. And so Chris, I wish y'all could have seen Chris this week. So first of all, y'all have to know this. Number one, oh, let me bring up my next person. There's no sense in me wasting y'all's time. Lisa. So, my husband like does not exercise. He used to do a little light jogging. And when I say light jogging, I mean like you I think an old man on a walker could have walked faster than him, but he's cute as it can be when he did it. He's real determined that he's not going to run fast. Like actually that is his goal. Like it is just trot. So, he did that for a hot minute. He kind of gave that up. Then now he does his walking around the basement. That's all he does is works in his office, and then Lisa, let me get you up here. Then every hour, he's like got a little timer that goes. I think it's every hour or half hour. He's got a timer that goes off. He walks around in a circle in the basement, and he ends up getting like fucking 12,000 steps a day doing this shit. He will not lift weights no matter what. So he had to build this big truss lighting grid and move furniture and all this other stuff. Y'all, he's lost 5 pounds this week. He's sore as a boil. He hurt, like his back's hurting, like all the things. And I told him, I said, Chris, if you don't learn anything from building this, your ass need to start lifting the weights. So, Lisa, for some reason, you're not coming up. Let me go to Melissa and see if you can figure out what's going on with your Zoom, because I've called you up a couple times and it's not had you join. Well, Laura, I like the downstairs office. It like let me tell y'all, you don't understand what goes on outside here. I've got glass doors on either side. I have everybody and their mother runs past them. They walk through the office sometimes like assholes. I get interrupted galore. It's on the front porch, so if anybody delivers something, they're knocking, and if I don't answer because they see me in here, they just stick their face in the window no matter what I'm doing. That is why I'm downstairs. I'm like, I want to be in a tomb where no one can finally find me. All right, Melissa. Hey, lady.
Hey.
You are the official transition and second wind eater. So tell me what's happening.
So mine is, it's kind of like the first person in a sense. I am, so the days that my husband and I like come home, have dinner, and then do our own thing, it's so weird. We both like meander back to the kitchen around 8 p.m. Like we both just like, there's no time. It's just, we don't say, we'll meet you down there. We both just like end up in the kitchen at the same time and we are at the table and we have a snack. And then it's like, and we just like sleep in separate rooms. We always have, and it works. Like we have a great
My
marriage and
grandparents
everything.
always did. My
Yeah.
grandfather snored like a fucking freight train. And then, like, 20 years in there, he had a really bad car accident where it just tore his nose up. And so I mean, it was so bad. No one could have ever slept in the same room. So they slept in separate rooms. I've often wanted to with Chris because he snores bad too.
Yeah, I was like night shift, he was day shift, and we did for a while and he kept waking up and I was in the other room. So yeah, it totally works. But sometimes I'm not hungry. So then I'm just like, why am I still? And then I go upstairs and do my night tan routine, right? Like the wash my face and my teeth. And now I have to do this whole pelvic floor routine because menopause, like this whole thing. So it's, I just am like, and I've tried before this, like, why this evening snack? And like, now I'm thinking about it with the last caller, like, is it connection with my husband? Is it like transition to like go do my whole nighttime routine? I don't know. And I was even looking back, my journaling group's doing the ink it, shrink it. And 2 years ago, and it's today, it's like, I'm literally wrote, why am I afraid I don't have a snack before bed? 2 years ago.
All right,
It's
well,
still.
let's do this. If starting tonight, you're just not allowed to eat at 8 o'clock, what does your brain say?
It's like, I've done that. It's like, you need a snack, you need a snack. And I haven't gone down and sat at the table with him, like, 'cause to see if it is like the connection piece, 'cause I was thinking that.
Well, why haven't you tried that?
I don't know. I just thought of that when you guys, the last call was talking. Yeah, I might try that to see.
Well, that's one thing we can try is just to see what's happening there. But let's just take a guess.
Yeah.
Like starting tonight for the next 3 years, I have said, can't have that 8 o'clock snack. I don't give a shit. Even if you're starving, you can't have it. Like it's just literally not possible.
Then I feel like it's hard to fall asleep if I'm hungry. Like I have that. Like if
Oh, so you
I'm.
know you'll be hungry.
I don't know I'll be hungry. Maybe I'm afraid I'll be hungry.
Okay,
Or
so.
like I know if I'm hungry and I'm trying to fall asleep, I can't fall asleep.
Okay.
Let me take my glasses off the glare.
So now that you know that, what do you want to do about it? Like, here's what we know. If I don't eat an 8 o'clock snack, I'm scared that I'll get hungry and I won't be able to fall asleep.
I mean, I guess if I realize, you know, if I give myself permission, if I really do get hungry, I can have a snack.
Okay, now what? What comes up?
I mean, that feels better. I guess I'd really need to pay attention, like ask myself, am I really hungry or is it just a habit?
No, we're assuming you're actually hungry.
Okay. If I'm hungry, then I can have a snack. I don't know. I just feel like I'm only hungry 30% of the time that I'm actually eating.
Okay, so now you know 70% of the time you won't be eating.
Yeah. But every day I meander to the base or I go down to the kitchen.
I know. And today, when you meander, you either got to sit your ass down or go back upstairs.
Yeah. And then just sit with the discomfort and the change.
So, how do you know there's going to be discomfort?
I don't.
Yeah, right. All y'all are just like, automatically assuming there's going to be discomfort. What if there's not? What if all this time you've been like, well, I want you to think about this. I'm going to ask you a question. When I say this sentence, tell me how you feel, like one emotion. Well, you're fixing to sit with the discomfort of not doing the habit.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good. It feels like dread.
Right. And y'all wonder why y'all have such a bastard relationship with trying something instead of just like, you know what? I'm not going to eat. I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to see if I'm uncomfortable. I'm going to see if I'm okay. I'm going to see if I don't miss it. I'm going to see if the discomfort maybe lasts for 2 minutes. I'm going to get really curious. Is it actually being uncomfortable?
Yeah.
So there's always that part. Like for a lot of you, y'all kind of gaslight yourselves and wonder why you're having a hard time doing things. It's like if I say, hey, we're going to go on this trip, it's all expenses paid, it's going to change your life. But we're going to have to suffer some discomfort while we're there. You're not going to be sleeping in your bed.
Yeah.
We're like going to have to eat at restaurants you've never ate at before. Like, I mean, I don't even know if they're going to have restaurants open after 9 o'clock. Like, then all of a sudden you're just like, oh my God, I don't want to go on a life-changing vacation. Now I'm like hyper worried about what are all these things. It's like Corinne is warning us there's going to be discomfort. Our tendency will be to call Corinne and say, keep your fucking trip.
That's true. So it is really just writing the story of like, I'm going to try this. Because I even know, like, put on this, your science, be a scientist and do things, but even just like how you write it, like, I'm just going to try this. It could be whatever for two, like, kind of see, like, how long is it going to last? Does it last forever? Is there any discomfort instead of like,
It at all.
yeah.
You're such an evolved person and no BS, you may not have a hard time at all, but we're also used to thinking any change I do with my eating, it must be so deep and scary and have a reason that I'm just going to sit there and just be like, for like an hour. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a lot of Facebook posts where people are like, I finally tried that shit that Corinne said, and oh my God, it was so much easier than I thought it was going to be. Our minds make it out to be pretty hard. I think the problem is that you keep acting number one, like you just meander. Like your story is very lovely. It's like,
It is.
it's almost like you drank a bottle of wine and you just found yourself, in a gutter somewhere. Like, this is the way I want you to talk about it. I never find myself there. Every night, I'm walking in. At some point, I am making a decision to go in there. Now, because I keep telling myself this hazy, lovely story, and this is what I want all of you to watch out for. It will feel true that you're just kind of sleepwalking in there. But what's also true is nothing can happen without a conscious decision. Like you cannot rise your body without one. We are consciously going in there. And so if we tell ourselves, this is a very conscious thing that happens, like I actually have to be physically walking. So now you can start telling yourself, I want to be on alert for when I start walking towards the kitchen. Right now, your story is, I just find myself there. So now your brain's not even turned on to let
Yeah.
you know, like, alert, alert, this evening snack thing that you've really talked about it as if it's so out of your control. And then when we do that, that reticular activating system never turns on to say, oh, you're walking towards the kitchen. You told me that you really wanted to get really good at noticing when you're moving to the kitchen. Right now, you're just like, I find myself there. I don't even know what happens. So we now have to realize the story we created, like, and I want you to think about this. It would be just as easy to tell the story of for the last, 30 days, I walked into the kitchen and had a snack and sat down with my husband. If we're telling that story, then it's very easy to say, I want to get really good at noticing when I'm walking towards the kitchen and talking to myself about it. Because now our brain is like, well, that makes sense. But if we stay confused and we stay in this land of like, it's just happening to me, now we feel helpless. And when we're helpless, we can't give ourselves anything to try. So let's start with that piece first of like, okay, I don't ever describe this ever again as if, I'm just finding myself there. It is every night I walk to the kitchen, and I bet if I start looking for patterns, I will find little triggers. I will notice what I'm doing. Because anything that we spotlight to our brain and say, like, hey, I just want to let you know this is a problem and I'm going to try to figure it out. And so what the first part of the problem is figuring out how do I like get really conscious of me going in there? Because I'm probably going to need to talk to myself now, not just talk to myself the day after it happened. Okay. So we got to move our timeline up. The next thing we got to figure out is we know. Well, let me ask you this. You said, well, then I'm going to have to figure out if I'm hungry or not. Are you still so new in the program that your hunger cues are so lost on you that it would take a deep dive and you'd really have to figure it out?
No, the only thing is that, and I'm getting back on the dose, my medication, my injectable, the whole insurance thing. So there was like a month ago, a week that I wasn't on it and my hunger went crazy. So we're getting back on the dose. So I
That's
have been
fine. But
messing with
even
that a little.
then, you knew you were hungry. So
So
okay.
that
So
was a
that's
good
very
answer.
different. I'm asking, you're talking about is like, my hunger is so nebulous. I mean, it's nebulous. Walk in and then like, oh my gosh, it's like I just lost my no BS brain. I don't even know my hunger cues anymore.
Like last night for sure, Chris texted me and said, which piece of pie is mine? And then I was like, oh, I forgot we had pie. And then I went downstairs and ate a piece of pie. And I forgot I got pie at the farmer's market. And I wasn't hungry. So like that was like definitely a cue now that I think about it. So things like that, for
Yep.
sure. I wasn't
Notice
hungry.
how when we start talking about it, it's like, oh yeah, man, them signals are loud and clear. Like my brain actually does know when I'm hungry or not. Just sometimes I'm just like, fuck you, we're eating. Because I mean, it's pie. Big difference. I mean, this is why I want y'all to get very specific about what's going on. Because if we're telling the story of, you're like, oh, I'm really like, we're making the process of not eating a snack really difficult when we add a layer in of, well, and I would have to figure out if I'm really hungry. And it's like, I will know if this is hunger or not. So I don't even have to worry about that.
For
Like,
sure.
just telling the story that way gets you really clear. I'm like, okay, now I'm going to get really good at knowing when I'm going in, and I already know if I'm hungry or not. Now, I may not like the decision to not eat. Now we got a problem to solve. Now we're actually working on what's really going on. We're not working on, I need to figure out my hunger cues. I need to do all this, like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I think it comes down to Melissa does not like the idea of not having the snack because in her mind, well, I'm gonna have to suffer the discomfort for a little bit. And then we gotta figure out like the next thing is, let's say you are gonna be uncomfortable. Okay? I want you to describe to me in such detail that if I brought Chris in here, he could visualize in his head, and this is somebody who has no issues with food. But he would just be like, well, shit, I really understand what you're going through now. So you don't get to snack simply because you're not hungry, but you want to eat. because you've been doing it, or it's pie, or whatever hoonanny excuse, like it's connection time, or he's getting to eat and I'm not, like the myriad of bullshit excuses that will arise when we don't eat. Now tell me, when you walk away and it's time for the discomfort to settle into your body, what's going on?
It's actually not that bad, because once the food's gone, like, so if I did have any discomfort sitting at the table if he's eating, it wouldn't be that bad. This actually brings up, I can tell you exactly what this is coming from. I know exactly. Thank you. When I was 16 years old, I was on a liquid diet for 2 years, and there I didn't have, yeah. I didn't have Thanksgiving. I didn't have Christmas. Many people ate around me and I didn't eat. And I think that's what this is coming from, right? Like this, and just like me going to the kitchen and him eating and me not eating. I think it's, and then this me not being on my medication for a week. I was like, I'm starving and I'm not going back. And that's where we're paying for my meds, blah, blah. So I didn't realize that the him eating, so and me not eating might be just a con like that piece. So that might just be even a I just, if I'm not hungry, I don't go into the kitchen if he's eating because of
You could
that.
do that, or you could go in and heal your inner child.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always the option to make her feel better.
Yeah.
To say, you know, when he's eating, I get that this triggers that it was like it was when we were a kid, but it's not like that now. We're actually just connecting with our husband and we're not hungry. And
Yeah.
you get to tell yourself, you know, the discomfort's really not that bad because that's what you've
Yeah.
said three times.
Yeah, it really, like, now it's not that bad. And it was actually good when I didn't have the meds for a week to realize that, like, that's how I felt. And that's what I said. I was like, this is how I felt when I was 16 for 2 years. Like, and that was like a good moment. Yeah. And so that must be what this is building up. Yeah. So I can definitely do the inner child on that because I didn't realize until like right now that that's what that's must be.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
all we got to do. We just got to tell her, like, it's not that bad. And this is nothing like what we went through.
Yeah, because I
We're
can
just
eat
not
five.
having us. Yeah, it's like if you're legit hungry, you get to remind yourself. I've been an obese woman for a long time. I will know when you're hungry and I will never deny you. Like, that should have just never happened to you. And I would never let that happen ever again.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. And if you want to not go in there while he's eating, that's fine too. Both are good options.
Yeah.
I just want you to see both sides. Like, sometimes people aren't ready to go in, but I don't know. I've just known you for a long time. I just don't get the sense that you're like in such a state where we need to like do this first before we
Yeah.
do that. Like, your emotional resilience is really good. And you've done, like, for all of you, she has been an obese woman for a long time. She has come to several camps. She probably all of them, I'm not sure, but I guess she's a repeat offender on the live events. But she also has always done a lot of the journaling and the like kind of getting underneath the surface. And that's why I would challenge you. I just think you're ready to just kind of go in and say, I just want to make my inner child feel better. She's just scared. That's the
Yeah.
real discomfort that I'm feeling, is that she is just like, oh my God, this is just like those 2 years. Like, you're missing out.
Yeah, and like the going to bed hungry is probably a piece of that too. Or like afraid to go to bed hungry is probably a
Yeah.
piece of that too. So saying like, you know, if I do get hungry, you know, if I wake up in the middle of the night hungry, I can't eat, you know, I'll take care of you kind of thing. 'Cause that was definitely like, that's probably where that piece comes from, that going to bed hungry, because I was just hungry all the time.
Why? So I had friends here for a few days, and when we're all together, so Aunt JJ cooked and stuff, but I get carried away with talking and whatnot. And last night we were going to go out, and we just kind of worked all day together on our businesses and coaching and stuff. It was like, I don't know, 6 o'clock. And y'all know me. If we're going to go out to eat at our restaurant, we better be there at 4. Because I don't stay up late. Like, that is just not happening. So it was like 6, and I just looked at him and I was like, Look, we got a lot of food in the fridge. I say we stay in. Let's just eat because I can't keep going and go out to eat. It's like we're either going out to eat and going to bed, or we're gonna stay here and keep talking and go to bed. Like it's one or the other. So they're like, oh, we'll stay in. So I got to talking and I was eating some leftover sushi. And I was going to go back and get more food because I was like, well, I'm going to start with like 6 pieces of sushi. Well, I ate them. And then we got to telling the most hilarious stories. We were like looking at old pictures of me and Jane 10 years ago and like stupid shit we've done. And we were just having a good time. Well, then it was time to go to bed and I never got any more food. And I just wanted to go to sleep. So I went to bed. I woke up at midnight and my stomach was just digesting itself. Like, and y'all know I've told y'all a million times, my hunger cues are not a growling stomach until I am damn hungry. Like I get tired first, I get unfocused. It takes a while before my stomach would ever growl. Well, I'm like waking up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm hungry. I marched my happy ass right into the kitchen. I was like, what is something that I can eat that's simple so I can go back to sleep? I didn't make it dramatic. I didn't make it like, oh my God, you're the Nobia's queen. You shouldn't be doing this. Like, you're letting everyone down, which is like half the story that you're going to regain all your weight. This is a slippery slope, Corinne. Like, I didn't do any of that shit. I was just like, I'm fucking hungry. Go get you something that makes sense. Because when I don't dramatize it, then I don't need to eat something that doesn't make sense to cover up me panicking. I can go and make a sensible choice. So I just grabbed a protein muffin. I was like, JJ's protein muffin, this will be plenty. Go to bed, eat, back to sleep. So there's nothing wrong with feeding yourself when you're really hungry. And if you don't dramatize it, you probably make a good choice.
It's true.
Okay, so that's the one we want to break. We're going to break eating at night with your husband. And one other thing I would just suggest, if it will, like, because we have this like trance-like thing that happens, is I would just tell him, hey, I'm working on this. And I know that we tend to eat together at night. And I don't want to do that right now, but I want to spend time with you. So either I'm going to sit with you while you eat, if you want to keep continue eating, or if you also want to break the habit, why don't we meander somewhere else and meet up? Have you
Yeah,
talked
he's
to
trying
him about
to.
that?
Yeah, he's trying to have a better snack. Like he had yogurt instead of I don't know whatever else. But yeah, we've talked a little bit about the snacking in the evening, so I think we will yeah, for sure continue that conversation.
Okay, good. So I would just
And
do that.
I just want to share, after all my medical journeys, last year I did a 5K that I trained for and I couldn't walk for 2 days after, but I did it. And then this year, yesterday, I didn't train because I didn't get to it, but I walked 2 miles and I was totally fine. So it's a
Oh, good for you. Is that
big.
because of the, is that have something to do with the surgeries you've had with the lipedema?
My
Okay.
legs are like night and day. It's like so exciting. So I'm excited.
That
I'm
is
like,
so good.
yeah, it's amazing.
You must like, so do you just like feel like very physically different? Like, is your pain levels and stuff? Like, I mean, like,
Yeah.
can you just
I
tell me
used to
about
have
it?
to lift my left leg up. Like when I got into the car, I used to li literally had to lift my left leg up to put it in the car, and I don't have to do that anymore. I just slide right in. It's
Man,
amazing.
y'all don't really know Melissa's story, but she also had to fight really hard to get her healthcare treatment. Like, if you ever, like, I don't know, maybe I know you've told it in Facebook and stuff, or you've talked about it in Facebook and stuff, but she's been warrior princess to make sure she got this done.
Yeah, I'm an open book. So if you ever have like lipedema or any of that, just find me. I'm easy to find, pink hair.
She's very easy to find. She's very open, and she's also really smart. Like, you know, I'm always like really proud of. I'm proud of all of you, but there are just certain Nobius women that I've just known over the years and watched over the years, and you've really taken everything to heart that we teach, and you put it into action. You always work on yourself, and you have such a great attitude. I mean, like I literally have known you for a long time, and one of the things that I would like, if somebody had to ask me to sum you up, I would just say, like, she just always has a terrific attitude. Like, I've never seen you be don't know. I don't know. Like, I mean, I know we all kind of get down on ourselves at times, but you just have a good attitude about working on yourself. Like, it comes from such a good place, and I love it. So,
Thank you.
you're welcome. All right. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's see. I'm still trying to get, I'm going to try to get Lisa Hollingsworth up again. And then if everybody else could lower their hands, this is what I would like. I need to coach someone who does joy eating. So joy eating is like, it will sound like things like, I just want to have a good time. It tastes so good. Like, it really feels like joy and pleasure. And it could be that it's the only way you're really getting joy and pleasure in life. And that's really who I'm looking for, is someone who feels like, well, I don't really have much in life unless I'm eating. So if there's anybody like that, Suzanne, will you just put in the chat? I just want to make sure in the chat that that sounds like you so we can coach on that. Okay. Any chance we can get JJ's protein muffin recipe? Yes, we can. So I will tell y'all a dirty secret, kind of a dirty secret. I am begging JJ to get all of her recipes. Most of them are right here, and she just messes around in the kitchen. Like, she's just a good cook. Trying to get her to get all her recipes collated in some way. I told her, I was like, I don't care if you just voice text my team. Like, if you could just get all that, we would put out an Aunt JJ cookbook. So, but we can get the protein recipe real. It's five ingredients, so it's super
Even
simple.
better.
Yeah, it's like super simple. It's very delicious. And me and my brother eat it like a son of a bitch. And then she makes these egg bites for Jane every time she comes, that like Jane swears by. And then my brother is like a garbage can, I swear to God. He is like, whatever I ask JJ to make me, he's the sampler. And then he falls in love with stuff. And then now she has to make it for him too. My brother is hilarious. He loves food. But I'll see if I can get the protein muffin recipe. I'll try to get the egg bite one too, since it's fresh on her mind. All right, Lisa. You are, what are we, coach? I'm sorry, I moved my window right over your thing. You are the wasting food. This is a good one. I love wasting food
Waste
because
the
I still have to work on
food.
it. If you saw how much rotten food I eat, I always tell people the reason why I never get sick is because this gut is an iron gut. I will eat things that are, let me just tell you a quick story and then I'll coach you. So 2 weeks ago, I had my coaching call with my coach. And as she came on, I was finishing my bite and I was setting my food down. And she said, oh, if you want to keep eating, you can. I was like, no, I'm good. I got enough. And she said, well, it looked delicious. And I said, I wish it tasted as good as it looked. She's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, every meal ain't got to be, you know, an orgasm. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, Aunt JJ made this last week. It is now on day eight. And I have a rule that I won't eat anything past day eight. But day eight is always a rough day in our house because nothing tastes good, for me at least. She's like, why do you do that? And I was like, girl, I don't like wasting food. That was my first thing. And I said, but I will tell you, I don't ever get sick. This gut has seen it all. And it's like, flu bug, get out of here. You've got nothing
Yes.
against ptomaine poisoning. All right. Tell
Now,
me about, tell me your story about wasting.
well, I've been here for a little over 3 years, and one of the things that I still hear like a lot is the wasting food thing. Like, I'll hear, oh, that might be enough. And then it's like, well, you don't want to waste this.
Yeah, all right.
And I was always a clean your plate kind of person. So I've gotten so much better about that. But there's still a lot of chatter. And because it does bother me so bad, like I've tried to reduce what I put on my plate, because then you do, like you throw away a bite or two. You know, you're not throwing away like half your plate. And
wrong with that strategy at all.
but I do realize, like, okay, like you go to a restaurant, well, you can't really do that. So
Yeah.
then you're, and especially like seafood and stuff, because we just went on vacation last week. So you order this food and it's great and you love it. And, you know, it's more expensive. Seafood's more expensive. You're on vacation. It just costs more. So then you got this $35 plate of food sitting here. You eat like, I don't know, 6 or 8 bites. And then you're like, that's probably enough. And then here it comes. Well, you don't want to
Yeah.
waste this. I mean, do you know how much you spent on this? You
Yeah.
know, and you're just going to throw it away.
So what do you
And
make it mean if you do throw it away?
well, I've realized I start feeling guilty about
Why?
wasting the money.
Are you in a financial situation where if you don't eat it, I just always like to make that really clear because there
Yes.
are people that, you know, like when I grew up, I know where my wasting food stemmed from because we were in a financial situation where you just needed to overeat when you could because you would also go, you know, days without eating. You know, and it was like there was a real safety issue. And so for me, what helped as an adult was to just keep reminding myself, you know, because I still like I just don't believe I will never, ever not have that food noise.
That
And
makes sense.
the reason why is because that food noise is just there to say, hey, bad things happened to you as a child, and I just don't want that to happen to you again. And so I don't ever think about like, that food noise is bad, or I shouldn't be having those thoughts, or I need those thoughts to go away. I just always think I know why they come up. And so when I'm like you, I remember it was a few years ago, I went to a really fancy dinner with some friends of mine, and we don't go to fancy places hardly ever, especially back then. Like, but they were bougie as fuck. And they wanted to go to this bougie fucking restaurant. Cheapest steak on the menu, and this was like 5 years ago, was like $65. I know. And I'm just like sitting there going, like, why did we not just go to Applebee's? I mean, like, I can get a steak at Applebee's. And so steak comes out, and it's like the size of my fucking laptop, number one. You couldn't get a smaller one. And I got like, I don't know, 25% through the steak. And I was done. And I sweat fucking bullets that whole meal. And I was at a hotel and I couldn't even take it home. And I remember coming home and telling my husband, I just did some big girl shit. I like felt really bad. I felt really wasteful. Like there was panic coming over me in my mind, like we weren't going to pay bills because I didn't eat that steak. And I had to just keep like, and all my friends are just sitting there just spending money and having a big time. And I'm like trying to keep my bill down because I'm so cheap. And I just remember sitting there and calming myself down over and over and over again, saying, you are not hungry. You can still pay your bills. All this stuff that you're thinking is not actually happening. And I just kept telling myself, this is not actually happening. This is not actually happening. This is not actually happening. It was not a fun meal by any means, but the next day was a lot of fun because I didn't wake up with regret. And I had a story to tell my husband. And it's a story I'm telling you now. And it was one of the first moments that I was so proud of myself that I decided to nurture my inner child versus eating to nurture her. Because we can nurture her one or two ways. You can just keep eating, or you can calm her down and show her that things are different now. I'm going to let you relax. You don't have to be on edge like you were as a child.
And you know, that makes so much sense to me. I feel that responsive, like
If I clean out my pantry right now, where I've gone to say like some little festival or Christmas village or something, there's somebody there with their special secret sauce they've made, and it's like, oh, that'd be great. You know, my husband smokes meat, this'd be great for that. Well, you know, if you buy three or if you buy four or whatever, it's like, oh, well, you know, I could do that. Okay, so if I go clean out my pantry right now, there's like maybe two partially eaten jars in the fridge because we are two people. And then there's two jars in the pantry we've never touched, but they're out of date. So then I start feeling all guilty. I need to throw this away. It's out of date. It's taking up space in my house that I really don't have. But then I start feeling guilty because as a steward of our money, I have spent this money on things that we never touched. So then I start feeling guilty because I wasted this money and now we're going to throw this away. And then I start feeling ashamed.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Now that you're telling, like you're narrating what's happening, which is great. Now we know what's going on in your mind. Now I want you to we're going to look at the story. We're going to look at it with not the part of us that thinks those things. We're going to look at it from the part of us who's just trying to figure out what actually is true here and what's more of just, I'm not interrupting this story. I'm not challenging my story. I'm not poking holes in it. So let's start with guilt. Is throwing out extra outdated sauces something that you need to feel guilty about?
No, in my
Why?
mind, I'm throwing out money. You know what I'm saying?
I
But
know, but tell me, but I'm not asking you to defend guilty. I'm asking you to tell me why should you not feel guilty about it? Because you're not throwing out money. You're throwing out outdated sauces that
because
you spent money on.
what if something's wrong with them now? They're
Wait a minute, you're breaking up and I can't hear you.
What if they made somebody sick? What if they made somebody sick? Like I would never forgive
You're throwing them
myself.
out. Who's getting sick off your throwed out sauces?
Nobody. But I'm
Right.
saying if we kept them and used them,
Right. But we're not doing that. We're actually going to throw them away. Like we're
yes.
throwing them away.
Okay.
And now we're like, it's like you and me are looking at a stranger who says, oh my God, I'm racked with guilt and I'm throwing money away. We're looking at a stranger telling us that. We're not looking at you. I'm not asking you to defend it. I'm asking you to rationalize why that's not what really is happening right now. Because that's not what's, you're not throwing away money. You're throwing away outdated sauces. That's all you're doing. You're throwing away sauces you never got around to using, that you didn't make a priority to use on the smoke. Maybe you threw away sauces that you thought you would use. Looks like we
We
don't.
didn't.
You're throwing away sauces because you got the kind of money where you can just piss some money away on sauces if you want to. It was fun purchasing it.
It was.
Yeah, so you got your money's worth. You had a damn good time when you bought them.
And if I'd have needed them, I had them. It
And you
turns
haven't
out I didn't
had them.
need them.
Yep. And obviously, either you didn't need them, or you didn't make it a priority. Because this is what I'm going to say. Maybe this will help. Guilt is from when we actually did something wrong. If you went and kicked puppies, beat up old men, poisoned people, like said, I've got some good outdated sauces. I'm going to the old folks' home and I'm fixing to poison some old folks. Then, yeah, I would say, I think you need to feel guilty because your radar is like off. But now, if we could just trade guilty to just feeling maybe wasteful, we might have a negative feeling that could have a positive outcome. Like, maybe when I buy sauces at Christmas Village and they have a wicked sale, I just need to remember I don't always get around to using all that. So maybe I will just buy one because four is not a good deal for me because I probably won't use them. I want to remember that. Well, now we just get to be a better consumer of product. The way you're doing it right now, you're not doing that. You're fostering hoarding, shit you ain't going to use and then feel guilty when you throw it away.
Yeah, that's true. And here's the thing, I beat myself up about it. My husband doesn't care. He's like, throw that shit away. Who cares? He does not care.
Right,
He's
but it's fine that he doesn't, but he doesn't have the same thoughts as you. So where
right.
is this really coming from? Why do you if you had to guess, why is it so hard for you to I'm just going to say waste. I don't think you're wasting money, but I want you to think about why is it so hard for me to do things that feels like it's wasting money when I know we have money now. We are financial. I'm assuming you're financially secure. The way that your
Yeah,
husband saw
we're
you.
fine.
Yeah. By the
Yeah,
way,
we're
go
fine.
balls. I have not missed your background.
Yeah, I needed to come to the bonus room, to be some separation and quiet. And it happens to also be where I put all his ball stuff.
I'm
So.
just going to say from now on, anytime you're welcome to get coached every single week as long as you're doing it in that
Deal.
All right. So let's think about where did your, if you had to guess, knowing that we are financially secure, like there's literally no behavior. If I want to order a $35 seafood platter and
Not a big
eat until I am satisfied, like we're fine. Nothing bad happens to us.
I think it definitely comes from childhood. I was the first child. My mom was 17 when she had me. So they were young. They didn't have a lot of money, my dad's family was poor. Like there was 10 of them. They were poor. My mom's family was not, but her mother was a teenager during the Depression. So there was all the we don't waste a thing, And I remember I was little, like maybe 8. And my grandmother, I went to a restaurant with my grandmother. It was the first time I ever went to a restaurant without my mother, who always picked what I ate at a restaurant, because we didn't go to restaurants then the way people do now, the way we do now, that
Right.
was an occasion. So
Yeah.
I'm at this restaurant by myself as a little bitty kid. She hands me a menu, like I'm going to pick my own food. And she says, get anything you want, but whatever you don't eat, you have to pay for. I'm 57. I still remember that. I
Yeah.
was terrified because I didn't have any money. I'm a child,
Right.
and I really thought she was serious. So I'm like, holy shit, whatever I order, I got to be able to eat it all, or she's going to ask me for money, and I don't have any money.
Yeah.
And
So now,
even all these years later, I still remember that.
right.
So,
That's big. I will tell you why this happens, and maybe it'll help you, and it'll help a lot of people. When you are little, your executive functioning skills, your ability to reason, your ability to kind of sort through what's real and what's not, doesn't even finalize until you're 26 years old. And that the smaller we are, the more our brain relies on what we're told. And our childlike brains, we believe every that's why we believe in Santa. Until I mean, just think about a children. You can literally tell children, do you know that they're like when you lose a tooth, there's this fairy with wings that comes and leaves money underneath your pillow? And kids are like, oh my God, are you for real? Now, if I told you right now, it's like, girl, do you know that there is a weight loss fairy? And as long as you do these things, she's gonna fly into your room tonight and she's gonna drop all your weight. You'd be like, I wish. But your reasoning brain would be like, Corinne has assuredly decided to come to this call after doing a line of cocaine or some weed. Like, but that's because you have executive functioning. Now, when we're children, we don't have that ability. We literally model and believe and we store everything because that's how we figure out our world. Now, when we're adults, there's something that happens where we think for some reason that now that we are adults, all of this stuff that got cataloged as this is how the world works. It's supposed to just miraculously change, but that is not how the brain works. The brain practices it for the first like 20 something years of your life. And we're not really taught, like, it's not like you turned 26 and somebody said, all right, we're going to sit down. We're going to do a very large inventory of everything you were told to believe about food. And we're going to like tell you the truth now. Santa Claus doesn't exist. You know, wasting food, that's really not a thing anymore. You know, I know I told you that you needed to be able to eat it all. And that you now think that you should eat it all, like it's just not a thing. We're never told that. We just kind of keep practicing and in practice, we get really good at it. So now you are in a different phase. It's like we are actually having the conversation. It's like we know where it started. It makes complete sense why your brain has a lot of noise. Every time you don't want to finish something, it's like, I know we have money consciously. My husband wasn't raised this way. When he thinks about it, he's like, are you smoking dope with Corinne? I don't know why you feel like we can't throw out the good sauces from Christmas Village. You know, and to him, it's just like, this makes no sense because that's not the impression he got when he was growing up. To him, he was probably taught, like, if it's old, throw it out before someone dies.
Yeah. And that makes so much sense. And I, with that running in the background, I never even questioned it
Yeah.
until no BS. So,
Right.
I mean, so until I'm in my 50s, this is just running unchecked about the waste and like I said, and then if you waste it, then it's like, oh my God, we're gonna go broke. What's gonna be? It's the money that, and it's not rational. And part of me knows that. I just never had thought of it like, yeah, that left an imprint in my brain way back then. And I've never really questioned it, and certainly not in the moment so much.
That's what we want to get good at. I want you to do similarly to what the other person I coached. I want you to start thinking about these are times when wasteful mentality is going to get triggered for me. If I'm leaving food behind, I know that I will feel that, oh my God, like you're being wasteful, you're being irresponsible. Like, you know, as if you're gonna have to come up with the money right there from your own little piggy bank as to what's happening. This is where we like to really make that transition is it's talking to yourself. And for me, it's just easy to talk to the inner child. For me, that always, there's something about saying, and like, I'm always like covering my heart. I always feel like my little inner child lives in my heart. And like, here she is. I keep her on this desk. She's always looking at me. I don't like, I have such a good memory of her. And I always just kind of put my hand on my heart and I'm like, I know you're panicking. We're okay. Like, and I will just be honest. I often tell her, it's like, girl, you work so hard. You actually have money now and you did it. Like, I'm always telling her, like, you broke the generational poverty curse of your family. And that's been very healing for me. You know, I'm like you, and I don't know if you've ever studied this, but I can barely explain it because I'm a newbie at it. But there's something called like generational trauma. And generational trauma is something where trauma happened, you know, a generation or two before you. It didn't actually happen to you. But like we share one thing really in common. My great grandmother grew up in the Depression too. And she was in the coal mines of Kentucky, lived with a dirt floor. All they had nothing. They had like less than nothing. And so I watched when I was very little, when I was still living in Alabama, that woman saved everything. I mean, like, if there was aluminum foil on something, She took it off, she washed it, and she had like this, she had just mounds of aluminum foil for just in case. She had, like when all of us were babies, she had saved every glass jar just in case. Like when she died, there was this house that was just like an old house where she kept the just in case shit. And it was packed to the gills with just shit.
My great grandmother saved styrofoam meat trays, like the meat in the grocery store. She washed them
Yep.
and she had stacks of them in her cabinet.
Just in case, you never
That's
know
right.
if you need it. And so I think about, like, not only was my mother also 17 and we were broke as the church mouse, but I looked at, my great grandmother and I watched her be afraid to throw away anything and telling me how important it was to keep these things because you never knew when you would lose everything and need it.
Yeah.
Like, that's things that you hear as a child. And we, like, that's like, I never was as poor as her or, had to go through the depression and all that stuff. But that's generational trauma. So, like, a lot of us, we sit here and we're like, well, I didn't really grow up that way. It's like, no, but if the people who influenced you were one or two generations from it, they grew up with all that messaging. And just like, her mom, like she told my grandmother told my daddy told me. That's how that stuff happened. So for all of you, it's like just remembering, when y'all feel like you're broken or something must be wrong with me, I must be crazy for having these thoughts, like all this like extra emotional garbage we pull all on ourselves. It's like everything I'm teaching y'all, like when we talk about emotional eating, I promise. There's always a really good reason that it's rooted in. And when we know that our eating is rooted in a really good reason, when you are afraid to leave fried seafood for $35 on a plate, it's for a good reason. It sounds silly, but deep inside, when it's time to stop eating, it ain't silly at all. Shit gets
Yes.
real in that moment. It's like, I need to keep eating. And that's when we have to, like, that's when we have to know our behaviors. And that's when we have to know our actions. It's not enough to just, well, I'm just going to like ask the group, like, should I bring a box? Should I do these things? Because it ain't like there's one woman sitting on this call right now that doesn't understand that if you go out to eat and you don't like wasting food, ask for it to go. Like, it's not like it's a fucking mystery and we need to like have a kumbaya on Facebook about ways to not do that. We all know it. The problem is when it's time to do those things, our inner child is like, but mama said we have to come up with the money. That's going to be wasteful. Like, and that means like you're not a good steward of the house money. And y'all might lose shit.
It's true. It's so dramatic and over the top, but in the moment, it's intense.
It's real.
Yeah,
So
it is.
that's why we have to, like, this is when we journaling helps. Is we either recount an experience or we anticipate the experiences that we see all the time. And we're like, I really want to write about things that trigger me and things I think that they sound irrational, but on the inside, they just feel really real. And then I want to have things that I can say to myself, things I can do for my nervous system, and things I can also do. Like, I need a combination of all of it. Because to me, I always think I probably, there's, I mean, I'm gonna cry when I say it. I could never make enough money to make this part of me feel like everything's gonna be okay for the rest of my life.
Oh God, that's probably true.
I mean, I just won't. I have tried to make a lot of money. I have made more money than I make now. I've been poor. I've been all the things. And I've never felt secure because money is not going to do it. But me being there for myself, I can make myself feel secure in the moments when I feel my most insecure. And that's, I think, what we have to remember when it comes to like wasting food, it's really coming from a place of fear at the end of the day. And we have to be able to say, like, things are different. Let me take care of you. I know leaving, all this good Gulf shrimp or wherever you're eating is going to be hard to do.
Yeah.
We're going to be okay.
And I never even thought about it as far as security. Like, is there ever going to be? Because I think that's a good realization too. Would there ever be enough that I would feel secure? And I think you're so right. I don't know that I ever would be 100% secure. I am confident in my ability and my husband's ability to figure things out. I am confident in that,
Yeah.
but I don't know that I would ever feel truly secure. And I never even considered that until you said it. But yeah, that
Yeah, the
too.
way I always like to tell myself is I probably won't ever feel like the security I want. Like I will never feel like Chris feels. Like my husband didn't grow up the way I did, and he doesn't worry like I do. He just didn't have the same lived experience. Like he's just naturally very confident and stuff. So I always remind myself, it's like I will probably always be triggered to feel insecure, but I do feel confident that I can be there for myself. I feel confident that, like on most days, I know everything's going to be okay. There's just certain moments that things don't feel okay, even when they are. And that's just me. Like, I just think that all humans, we all have our stuff. My
Yeah.
stuff will always be that. I just think it's just, and I'm okay with that. I like to always say it's always going to be my thing because I'm really okay with that. Like, I'm just okay with, like, this is my unique thing. And I'm getting better at handling it and dealing with it and talking to myself about it. And there's just going to be times when things don't feel right in my world, and mine happens to manifest this way.
And it helps me to know that you still have the thoughts. Like, the thoughts are going to be there. I can learn to handle them better and talk back to them and manage them and, even use them as a sign that, hey, this means I need to do blah, blah, blah. If I'm hearing this in my head, then I need to do, because I feel like you're a thought ninja at this point. And so if it's happening to you, it will happen to me too. So knowing that is good, because then I'm not expecting it to go away. I just know I can learn to deal with it.
Yeah, and that is the thing about being a, like, I'm a thought ninja, not because I don't have, like, all I have is like really pure and great thoughts all the time. It's like I'm a thought ninja because when when thoughts feel like they're attacking me or they're coming at me or whatever, like a ninja, I know what to do. I've honed my skills of comforting myself. I've honed my skills of being aware of when patterns are erupting, or I notice a behavior coming up, or when I'm thinking things. And I've really honed my skills in the last year on knowing when I'm feeling something, because sometimes we feel before we can recognize what's happening. And I've gotten so attuned with knowing when I wake up some days with, like, I'm not breathing well, and it isn't because I got compromised lungs, it's because I've got, 40 pounds of anxiety I'm waking up with. And it's just kind of like sitting there. And I'm like, okay, this is one of those days, like, what's going on? What am I worried about? Am I like dreading? Like, what's happening here? Like, I'm like really good at knowing all that stuff and just navigating through it.
I did Calm and Confident with Kathy and Betsy. And until I did that course, I don't think I was ever really conscious of my body having these reactions. And now that I've started noticing them, I mean, we went in Costco one night and somebody had posted that they were going to have vanilla Fairlife shakes. And I walked in there. There were no vanilla Fairlife shakes. There were chocolate. And I mean, like, my body just had such a reaction to that. And I know I would never have noticed that before, but now I have started noticing things in my body a lot of times before I ever have a thought.
Oh,
If
yeah.
I do take a second, it's like, whoa, why do I feel like this right now?
I think that, like, and I don't know how Kathy teaches the way I like to teach it, and this is why we do so much of the, like, we try to do little feelings work too stuff, is because You've got so many thoughts going on at all times. And we've got like the ones we can hear. And then we have all this subconscious programming that's just like running around, like, oh my God, you know, if you don't eat all that shrimp, oh, you're gonna have to pay for it out of your piggy bank, you know, like
Ain't
all
none of
this
tent
happening.
living in a tent.
Yes, you know, and like it's happening in the background, and that's just the way the brain works. So our body is almost like the alert system. Something's happening in here. And so a lot of times if you can calm your body down, then you start hearing what's going on. You know, then we can dissect what's going on.
Okay.
We both live. Where do you live?
In Mount Juliet.
Oh, well, okay. So you know that we have tornado sirens everywhere.
Oh, yes.
All right. So our feelings are like tornado sirens. It's like something's coming. Like you need to take cover, you need to do whatever, because like basically our brain is like a tornado and it's coming, and the tornado siren is our body saying shit is spinning in this head of yours, and you know, like sometimes we actually do need to take cover. We have like it's like our body is actually warning us to real danger. But just like the tornado sirens, how many times have we actually experienced a tornado?
Yeah, once in 57 years.
Exactly. That is like our nervous system. Our nervous system is like, just in case shit happens.
Yeah.
But we want it to be going off because most of the time, it's not going to be an emergency, but it feels like one. So, like when you're trying to throw away sauces and you're not finishing your food, it's like the tornado siren's going on. It's like, oh my God, we're wasting the food, blah, 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 blah. You can just be like, look, there's no tornado coming. I turned on Channel 5 News and they told me that it's not coming down our street. We can just sit right here.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy. That's a very and I that's good. I will be hearing this in my head the next time I notice that. And it's all the time. You don't want to waste it. It'll probably be today. You don't want to waste that.
So every time that happens now, you can ask yourself, you can just tell yourself, I'm not wasting something. Like, there's really no waste happening. Like, I want you to really think about it. And you have been taught eating all of it means you got your money's worth. And that all came from this idea we didn't have enough and all this other stuff. But the real waste is spending your entire life eating because of something you got told when you were five, or all the extra weight. And you know, whatever it does to our health, whatever it does to, like, our quality of life, our being, you know, ability to be able to do the things we want, the, you know, the shame we carry because we keep overeating, like the real waste is that is the real waste. And it's just reminding yourself of that. It's like, I'm only need this much food. That's all that's happening. If I don't need this much food, and I know that I'm financially secure, it is okay to either throw it away, save it for later. Like, that's when the tools of, you know, boxing, that's when all of that starts making sense. Like, we want to do that stuff, but we don't want to do that stuff if in the moment we're like treating it as, well, I'm being wasteful and I should feel really bad about this. Okay. All
Yeah,
right.
you're so right.
All right.
Thank
Well,
you
thank
so
you.
much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's always fun to talk to another Southerner. All right. Did anybody want the joy eating coach? Now I have iPhone user. I'm going to pull you up. If we don't get somebody who's going to do pleasure, like what I'm looking for, and if for some reason we don't have anybody today, but we can try it again next week, where what I'm really wanting to coach somebody on is this idea of, if I'm not eating, what's left? Like, that is where I get my joy. That is the only time I have a good time. Like, my life is so hard. And if I don't eat, what's left for me? All right, iPhone, I'm pulling you up. Speaking of hunger, your queen is very hungry right now. I'm gonna have me some lunch. Oh, and just for all of you, nope, she didn't want to get coached. Okay, well, let's just do this. Let me speak to the joy eating, and then we will get off so that I can go and eat some lunch before the maintenance call starts at 12:30. And by the way, I only coach maintenance people, but everyone is welcome. And I do encourage all of you to listen to those calls and to participate in them, because one day you're going to be in maintenance. And it's always a good idea to hear what happens in maintenance and what they go through and what's going on there, so that you're not waiting until the end to figure it out. You're figuring it out all along the way. Okay. And because they bring up really good, juicy topics. So, joy pleasure eating. The easy way to solve this is number one is to look for where right now you are missing out on joy and pleasure in your life. Like a lot of us, and I am the most guilty about this, we don't have a gratitude practice at all. And a gratitude practice can be really simple. So, like, I just write what I'm grateful for every single day in my journal. I do it every day. That helps me because I am someone who literally sees the negative all the time. Like, my brain is always on hyper alert for why this is bad, why this is dangerous, what's wrong with this. And I'm also an A type. And A types are really guilty of joy and pleasure eating, because when you accomplish a lot, when you get a lot done, when you're always busy and stuff, we don't take a moment to like say you did a damn good job. We don't relish in anything. And relishing doesn't mean that you have to like have a big party for 3 hours and all kinds of stuff, but even just taking a 5 second pause to say like, oh my God, good job. You got that done. Like, you've been put, like, for a lot of you, it's like you've been putting that off forever. And look, you finally got it done. Good for you. Most of us were like, yeah, well, you shouldn't have put it off forever. Like, just think about how much joy and pleasure suck that we do in our lives. So, the easiest way to combat some joy and pleasure food, number one, is look for where you're missing out on giving yourself internal joy and pleasure. That's always number one. And you look for opportunities in your life to where you can also take joy and pleasure in things you take for granted. So, like for me, yesterday I was with my friends and my cat, who that little bitch never sits next to me. I got these cats because I wanted lap cats. When my other cats passed, I was like, I'm getting me some kitties. Like, I'm the kind of person who needs kitties, like all the things. She finally, for some reason, decides to get right next to me and lay next to me. And I remember while my friends were here, taking a moment while they were talking to say, I just love that Lakita's sitting here. That's joy and pleasure moments. I took a moment last night where we were all sitting and laughing to actually say, this is one of those moments I don't want to miss. Like, I want to remember that this was fun. Because it's really easy to just talk about life as, you know, like when people ask you, like, how are you doing? Well, pretty good, but I'm tired. You know, busy, just busy. Like, we talk about life with anything but joy and pleasure. I can't even tell you the last time I ever asked somebody, how are you doing? They're like, well, like, fucking fantastic. I mean, I feel really good today. I'm high on energy. I mean, life's going good. How are you? No one ever says that. We always say we're busy, we're tired, we're okay. So it's like looking for that. Now, the next place is to kind of do an audit or an inventory of your current life and where you are not enjoying yourself at all, where you are squeezing out time for you, where you are not including any pleasure at all. So it's like looking at it through the lens of, I would love for my life to not be where the only way I get joy and pleasure is through food. So that's a signal that I'm not getting it. And the only way that I'm allowing myself to have it is when I eat. So then what we have to do is we have to think about, all right, what are things I would like to do during the week that I could reasonably actually do? This is not your wish list so that you can look at all the things you'd like to be doing and then sit there and be frustrated, angry, and pissed because your life can't accommodate it. I do not want you making that list. Y'all don't sit there and abuse my teachings. I want you to make the list of knowing how my life is. Where am I missing out on obvious opportunities to do things for myself if I got over my people pleasing a little bit, if I was not feeling guilty or selfish? There's a big difference. I want all you mothers to hear me. Mom guilt is not a thing. Please quit saying mom guilt is just a thing. It is not. It is detrimental to your well-being. Very often, you will want to do things, but you do not do them because you convince yourself that everybody around you is going to be harmed. They're going to be so mad, or they're like, that's selfish of me. I should be spending so much more time with my children. If you want to, like, if it brings you pleasure to do that, then do it. But we're trying to solve the idea of joy and pleasure. So we have to start looking at, where do I have unrealistic expectations of myself to where I'm cutting out joy and pleasure just so I don't look bad or feel bad if I do it? That is an inventory that we got to do. Okay. So we look there and then we add a little spice to the life. And I'm not talking, like, again, you do not need to go spend hours and hours and hours. We are building up to adding the joy and pleasure back in. Because if you are a person who says, I only get joy and pleasure from food, that means you've got to baby step into it. You are going to have, you're going to find that you have a lot of drama. You're going to think that it's selfish of you to do these things. You should feel guilty for not wanting to be with your kids and wanting to take a nap instead. Even though you got a partner who always says, will you please take your fucking angry ass and take care of yourself? I got this. Most of the time they don't say it that way, but on the inside they're like, bitch, you are not that fun to be around. Will you please quit falling on the sword for all of us? Because we feel like we're getting a sword shoved straight up our ass every damn day with your like huffing and puffing that you don't ever get to take care of yourself. So we're going to do that. Now, the last place is where we really do the bigger inventory of what are the things in my life that I really do wish I could be doing. It's burning in my soul, in my heart. This can be like passion projects. You know, like you might want to like change careers, go back to college. Like, we're going to dream a little bit. Now, your brain's going to fight it. It's going to say, you can't have this. You can't do all these things, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. We just want the part of us that we keep eating to shut up, to let it have a voice. We just want to get back in touch with, all right, if nobody was going to think ill of me, if I had the time, if I was brave enough, like if these obstacles that I think are in my way were suddenly waved with a magic wand, here's things I would be doing in my life. Make that list because you might be surprised when you make the list and then I wouldn't look at it for a couple days. You go back to it with like a few deep breaths, a clean mind. You look at your list. You might find there's a few things on there that you can do pieces and parts of it. There might be some things on there where you realize I'm just scared to do it. It's not that I can't, even though I've been telling myself that. It might be risky. And then you get to consciously decide rather than telling yourself, I can't do it, or you only eat over it. Now you get to just say, you know what? I'm not doing that right now because I would rather do what I am doing. I'm not ready for that risk. I don't want to make that change. I would love to have it, but the path to get there is too hard for me. Like, it's just not a good fit with me right now in my life. Then we're consciously choosing. We're like really making a decision for ourselves. And then joy and pleasure comes back. Because now we don't feel like things just aren't for us. Okay. That is my talk on that. Y'all have a great, great week. Well, actually, I will see all of y'all next week, but maintenance, come back at 12:30. We will have your call. And then other than that, y'all keep rocking and rolling emotional eating. I think this is one of the most powerful courses that I have wrote. And the more you talk about what you're doing, like in the Facebook group with each other, you'll notice I'm over there coaching and stuff most days of the week. Don't miss out. Don't forget, you can always search my name in the Facebook group. You can see a lot of my coaching. You can look for hashtag. I don't always remember to put hashtag Corinne's advice on things. So if you look for my name, then you'll find it. But the more I interact with y'all, the more I know what needs to go into the next big course, which is the workshop that's happening in September, which is weekend eating, because we're going to attack emotional eating all around the edges. All right, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.